Thank you.
Well, Quack Quack has really got this figured out.
Russbacher knew a secret that had its origins almost two decades before George Bush was born. It was a secret about the defrauding of America by international banking interests. It was a secret that showed that George Bush's power came from these bankers. A direct line can be traced from these international banking interests to both of Bush's grandfathers. The same money and people who were involved in the overthrow of the Austro-Hungarian Empire went on to overthrow the duly elected government of the United States of America and grab control of it in a midnight session of Congress in 1913. These men, including Bush's ancestors, had met on Jekyll Island and created the Federal Reserve banking system. Bush's family had been deeply implicated in this treasonous takeover of America's banking and monetary system by foreign bankers from the very beginning. At the time of the takeover by these international bankers, their headquarters was in England. It is still based there, operating out of the think tank known as the Tavistock Institute. George Bush also has ties to England. He quietly claims that he is the legitimate heir to the British throne. His CIA code name of White Rose is an inner circle reference to his royal blood. It is well known that Elizabeth I and her backers dethroned the legitimate heirs to the throne, the descendants of Catherine of Aragon. This interesting fact may or not have anything to do with Bush's claim to the throne or with his fear of what Russbacher could reveal, but it begins to put into historical perspective a struggle that has been taking place for hundreds of years. Catherine of Aragon was descended from an Austrian empress. The Austrians felt attacked and betrayed, and when Elizabeth I was placed upon the British throne. I state these facts because it is important for Americans to know that the war that is currently taking place in the monetary system of their country started hundreds of years ago. The players that vied for power 500 years ago are the same players, their physical and ideological descendants. These players are divided into two camps. One camp consists of the royal families, which at one time or another were under the banner of Austrian Empire. The other player in this never-ending tragic drama is the powerful banking interests of England and now of the world. These interests established their control of England during the time of William and Mary. They expanded and consolidated their power during the time of Disraeli. It was at this time that a many-pronged attack was made upon the Austro-Hungarian Empire. As the empire collapsed, the bankers of England began to expand their power. Their next victim was the young country which had so humiliated them 100 years before, the United States of America. An important digression is needed here. The American people have to understand that the mindset of these men is based in 100-year cycles. The average American lives from week to week. The American government is set up in 2, 4, and 6-year cycles. Because of the two-party system and the war between Democrats and Republicans, no long-range planning can ever be accomplished. This set of events is not accidental. It was conceived, created, and executed by the same people who plan their own futures in 100-year cycles. To keep the huge sleeping masses from ever having the time to grasp what is happening to them, the international cabal orchestrated a divide-and-conquer mentality for American politics, the two-party system. For the last 100 years, these international conspirators have focused most of their interest on capturing the United States. They destroyed and scattered the royal families and went on to greater conquests.
Listen to what you just said. You ran through here and you said cabal. What does that mean? It means strength in a higher place. It means, for instance, there is a cabal that runs your political machinery. Higher than Clinton, higher than anybody in there. Those are puppets on the cabal string. Who makes up the cabal? Well, I don't want to get into that. I want to give you some relativity so that you can equate one thing with another. You will remember that when Günter Rosbacher entered your lives, he had been given by Ray Ellen a guide. That guide was called Atalon. Get the similarity between Aton and Atalon. And what else did she lead him to believe? That he was the son of God, Cabal. This is Satan himself. You can spell it any way you want to. And I personally confronted that. I confronted the energy, and I confronted Günter Rosbacher, and I confronted Ray Ellen, who sat there and watched it. For once with her little sweet mouth hanging open. And yet the moment afterwards that she got an opportunity and he pulled in one of his alternate personalities, she got him right back onto the booze. And he went right back into his old personality and right back into total irrationality. And she called in these dark energies again. She didn't know what to do with him, so she called. And this poor, confused man, and he is a nut. I'm telling you, he is a nut. You don't know what personality you're dealing with at any given moment of any day. Am I right, Padre?
Correct.
Thank you. You see, I've got my confirmation up here.
The reason he's up here is because...
Oh, we're going to get into it in a minute. And that BS, real BS, Padre was there.
Was there. Go on, please.
Go ahead. I think it's okay. Go ahead, please.
Günter Rosbacher has been trained in the most heinous way there is. Just as Kathy O'Brien was trained through pain, this young man was taken early in his experience, and he did it very willingly. There's a lot of difference in the Rosbacher that presents himself and the one that spent time with Bo Greitz in Oklahoma. But basically, Delta Forces, intelligence, real high-level Delta Force quality intelligence agents are trained like this. Through deprivation, pain, torture, whatever is required to make them into machines instead of men. And you can have so many splintered personalities that you can't count them. One of these personalities came downstairs and said, "I killed Franz last night. And I have two more on my list." He says this to Ed here. "And you're one of them." Well, Ed was smart enough to look him in the eye and say, "Brother, you ain't mad enough." The third one was Ray Ellen. So it'd be better if that personality didn't stick around her too much. It was number three. Oh, well, you mean which personality, if you're going to call, I want to speak with number three or something?
Okay, three.
But you can have a personality within this conglomeration. I like to think of it as the axis handle because it is so controlled and it is a hatchet and it really will just do a hatchet job on you. One fragment may be an alcoholic and be totally rolling on the floor, so drunk, so intoxicated that he cannot stand. Another personality can come out of that and be stone cold sober.
drives home.
It's the other way.
Designated driver, you're right.
Everybody.
Always bring your alternate.
Right. Mr. Sober.
But you can see what kind of a mess you can have in your mind. And how fully these totally severed, you see, a non-integrated train programmed being. The programming starts at a very young age from that kind of a background to really do an effective job. So you've got to get a young man. And it helps if you've got this weird background, but it's not necessary. But the most effectively trained people, programmed people, are ones that you start before they can speak because they have no way to communicate. And then you branch off or splinter off these personalities through pain and total abhorrent living standards. And you will create as many personalities as you want. And the reason that I have to tell you that is because of what comes later in the message. So go on, please. I'm not going to interrupt every time, so.
The last 100 years, these international conspirators have focused most of their interest on capturing the United States. They destroyed and scattered the royal families and went on to greater conquests. Since 1913, they have fought to keep control of the money in the United States while they secretly work to pass enough law in Congress to subvert the Constitution and turn the American people into slaves of a new world order which is run out of the Tavistock Institute by the invisible hands of a banking cabal which has its roots in antiquity. For reasons understood only by a secret few, the bankers were the ideological enemies of these people who claim descent from certain royal houses. This bloodline had to be wiped from the face of the earth or scattered so thinly around the world that it could never pose another threat to their ends. In order to gain a firm grasp upon the economies of the world, the bankers had to destroy their enemies and their descendants wherever they lived. To do this, the bankers needed money, lots of money. It created a never-ending flow into their own pockets when they established the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States. From there, the international bankers would expand their power base into almost every country in the world. These bankers backed the Russian Revolution, which dethroned the last European royal bloodline. Their money started World War I and financed both sides. Their wealth was multiplied many times over by the sale of weapons to all nations involved. The event that triggered World War I started in Sarajevo. It was the assassination of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand. His death ended that royal bloodline. Rusbacher's maternal grandfather, Josef Weissel von Esterhazy, became the Archduke of Austria. Gunther Rusbacher is one of the last pure royal bloodline of the old Austro-Hungarian Empire. He is the last of his line. His children are not recognized as heirs to anything because they do not have pure blood on both sides of the family. When Rusbacher and his mother were exiled in 1954, it was done to keep any legitimate heir to the Austrian throne from establishing a power base within Austria that could eventually help him or her regain the throne. In 1992, while Gunther Rusbacher was fighting to stay alive in prison, he was also writing and giving interviews. Much of his written work focuses on the Federal Reserve banking system and the tremendous crime that has been perpetrated upon the American people. One of his articles, an expose of the Federal Reserve titled The Short Road to Chaos and Destruction, was published in 1992 while George Bush was running against Bill Clinton. Shortly afterwards, Rusbacher published his second article. In it, he covered the think tanks such as the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, which were created with the money stolen from the American taxpayers by the Federal Reserve Bank and its enforcing Gestapo, the IRS. In exposing the Federal Reserve Bank, Rusbacher was exposing not only the darkest and dirtiest secret in the United States, but he was exposing George Bush's hidden power base. After Bush was defeated, the power in Washington that was used to keep Rusbacher incarcerated in Missouri began to fade. The Missouri Attorney General, who had been instrumental in charging Rusbacher with a crime, was himself convicted, and is now serving his term in prison.
Rusbacher and his friends in the intelligence community were responsible for the investigation that unearthed the former AG's crimes.
Ooh. Sure.
The rest of Missouri government read the handwriting on the wall and took a hands-off approach to the Rusbacher affair. Not. Several visits by the Austrian ambassador and the Austrian consul general probably convinced Missouri officials that more was going on than met the eye. It still took another year of incarceration before Rusbacher was released from prison. This was not to be accomplished without a great personal and physical sacrifice and tremendous support from Contact and their readers. That's not in there, by the way. Rusbacher's main enemies in government were out of power and were scrambling for their own lives, but his number one enemy was the powerful banking industry, and that enemy has its willing slaves scattered throughout all aspects of life. Shortly after Rusbacher's 21-year sentence was vacated, he was returned to the county jail where he had been originally sentenced. In this jail, he was given the choice of undergoing unnecessary open-heart surgery and taking his chances with medical doctors.
Whoops. Did anybody read the word unnecessary?
Yeah.
Go on.
He was given the choice of undergoing unnecessary open-heart surgery and taking his chances with medical doctors, or refusing the surgery and being murdered in his cell. Of course, his murder would be made to look like a heart attack, and the officials of St. Charles County could wash their hands of the whole dirty mess by saying that they had offered him his chance for bypass surgery, and he refused it. 5 days after open-heart surgery, he was returned to a cell in the jail.
Now, this one's really going to get you. This one is going to just blow you away.
During this time, Rusbacher had not been allowed to talk to his wife or sons. For days, they did not know if he was dead or alive. He was put into a solitary holding cell that was covered with urine and feces. His incisions were still open and oozing, but guards would not help him clean the cell. He was forced to clean the feces and urine from his cell with his own hands while trying to keep the nausea and pain from surgery from causing him to pass out and fall on the filth and human waste. Shortly after this horrific episode reached the ears of the American Patriot community.
Oh, now I'm going to get mad. Aren't any of you mad as hell in here?
Yeah.
How many of you made contributions and wrote and wrote and wrote and demanded until it got done? Well, you're not even awarded favorable mention. You just work for the CIA.
Shortly after this horrific episode reached the ears of the American Patriot community, thousands of letters began pouring into the offices of the officials of the County of St. Charles and into the governor's office. Faxes and telephone calls tied up the phone lines of the governor's office, literally paralyzing the Missouri government. Finally, the ACLU and Amnesty International took notice and became involved. Within a week, on December 15, 1993, Rusbacher was a free man. His strength was slow in returning, but by the middle of January 1994, he was almost back to his health before the operation. It was at this time that Rusbacher was first approached with a business proposition that would change the face of the world. Rusbacher was asked by representatives of the intelligence community to become the pivotal figure in the transfer of a large amount of gold from the Philippines to Austria.
I knew that would get you, brother. Who? I'm going to set some records straight right now because there's some people that need to be protected out of all of this. Rusbacher didn't have one damn thing to do with it.
Correct.
He was asked for one thing. After it was already completely underway, and I said, if you touch those ships, I will sink them. This was already underway, and there was so much more product than anybody imagined. And you're going to hear a little bit about it while in this reading. But ones came to other ones, and they were not in the intelligence community, to help see if some could be transferred, a transaction, if you will. There needed to be, as it was found, there was more, a buyer, an intermediary bank, a buyer. And for that reason, it was suggested that maybe Gunther Rusbacher might be able to make contact because he is an Austrian citizen holding dual citizenship, speaking fluent German, knowing Mr. Metz of the National Bank of Austria to see if we could go through the Bank of Austria, would they care to purchase the product? Knowing full well that the purchase price would be humongous, number one. Number two, would have to come from other nations as well to be able to handle such a transaction. Go on.
Rusbacher and his wife, Ray Ellen, were told that the very large amount of gold would be used to create gold-backed currencies for all of the world governments. Rusbacher became involved willingly because he was told that the first country to return to the gold standard would be the United States of America.
Oh, wait. Aren't you glad that he willingly agreed with all the arm twisting so that Ray Ellen could run it? The first thing that Ray Ellen did was begin to sever all connection with Hatton. She had it all arranged, and everybody got convinced that it'd be better just to let Doris rest. Don't bother poor Doris. She's overloaded. Well, guess what? This is how much they believed. They assumed that if Doris didn't know, Hatton wouldn't know either. Wrong. So we had to clear up a few of those things, which made Ms. Ray Ellen very, very upset. And she's done it again and again and again. But I don't care. Hatton doesn't give a damn either about your gold or her, quite frankly. She can serve any energy she chooses. But what I do object to is that as this began to happen, she also began to alienate other ones away from Gunther. Don't call, she told. Just stay low. It's dangerous, she told Rodney Stitch, who all the while these things were unfolding were destroying the credibility of his book. And for a year, they had no communications with Rodney Stitch until they were in Austria and they tried to get his credit card from him. So go on about this gold.
This would mean the Federal Reserve System, which backs its money with nothing, would cease to exist. From his home near the ocean in California, Rusbacher orchestrated a plan for selling and transferring the Philippine gold to Austria. Once he had secured the firm offer to sell from the Philippines, the deal came to the attention of his enemies within the banking world, and two attempts were made to kill him. His health had suffered under the stress. His liver was swollen, his pancreas failing, and his kidneys were shutting down.
Yeah, he was a drunk.
How long has this been going on? All this pancreas failing and heart stopping and et cetera, et cetera.
Every time he wants something else from you, doesn't it?
So I would say Goosey number 22 can stage a heart attack anytime he well pleases and get over it within a couple of hours.
After going to the hospital.
And drawing all the mechanics and everything else in there. To do the thump, thump, bump, bump, running back, and then he comes back in at midnight. Oh, everything's fine. Just had a little trouble with my heart. No ifs. I think that's 22, yeah.
That's a good one.
He was afraid to go into an American hospital. He felt he would be killed. Several men who were also involved in the gold transfer accompanied him to Austria, where he was arrested immediately upon entering the country. He was taken via helicopter.
I want to stop that one.
I want to stop that one.
Who were those several other men?
Let's hear what this one has to say first.
phony stage. There was a way to get rid of these three other guys who were not in on the scenario. They were scammed as much as Goosey was being scammed at the time. Oops. Your time.
Well, as a matter of fact, there were all these calls back and forth from New York, actually, from the airport, from everywhere, and the sobbing and, oh, EJ, I can't go today. I've got to have 24 more hours, and undoubtedly so.